If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thank you for listening. I'm Bridget here with Sonar and filling in for Dr. Michael Roizen, who will be back next week. I don't know if I'm allowed to divulge where he is, but I think he scooted out to a Cavs game because he was wearing a Cavs hat. So good that he's enjoying that because he works all the time, and I know that he loves the Cavs game. Hopefully, hopefully they win.
Yeah, he works all the time. It takes two of us to fill in for him.
I know, it's so true. Yeah, he's crazy busy. So this is good that he's there, not here. Moving into the next story that is really exciting, actually. The California city of Berkeley this past week approved the first U.S. ballot measure that will tax sugary soft drinks, and this is an amazing first step on a public health level to start to go against the soda industry. Berkeley's new law that will be imposed will impose a 1 cent per ounce tax on sugar sweetened beverages. So while that doesn't seem like that much, it could be. I like that they're doing it per ounce, because then if the larger serving that you're having, the more that you'll pay, which kind of goes, it's a different spin on Michael Bloomberg's approach, who is the old mayor of New York City, and he proposed to ban the sales of large soft drinks, which I'm sure that everyone remembers. He was unsuccessful with that proposal, but I think that this is a better way to do it, where we're trying to incentivize people to buy smaller containers or none at all.
Well, if you pay by the ounce, you better not get that free refill.
Exactly. I think that will also hopefully not be in place either. And it's really exciting because this is the first successful initiative for taxing soda, and it's following two failed attempts by Richmond, California in 2012 and then New York City. And it's interesting because the former New York mayor, Michael Bloomberg, donated over $600,000 to Berkeley's campaign against the soft drink industry. And I think that he obviously was probably a big part of their success, so it's great for him that he was able to contribute in that way. They interviewed one of the councilwomen, and she said that the success of Berkeley's tax new law is credited to the lessons that they learned from Richmond's failure in 2012, and then their plan was focused specifically on her city, so they really focused on messaging that was revolved around the impact that diabetes has on the African American community in order to get more people in their community on board, which I think was really smart. So yay, that's really promising that now soft drinks will be taxed in Berkeley, and we'll see whether that is a trend that takes off around the country. There was a person from the American Beverage Association that was interviewed in an article that I was reading, and he said something like, this will not become a trend, we won't see this in other areas, so we'll see whether he's right or not.
Well, if anything, it's a wake-up call for people to see that. As the libertarian in me says, oh, well, why are you taxing something, some commercial good? But at the same time, it's a slightly easier to make a law than it is for the education. And I think the law will help with that education.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's a really good point. Well, and the problem is that you're right, the awareness piece is huge. Awareness is the number one most important step in order to, it's improving awareness and then changing the environment that have to coincide in order for you to have any effective outcome. And I think that for too long, the soda industry, with all of their money that's been thrown into marketing and trying to encourage youth to drink sodas through, you know, using LeBron James and Taylor Swift and Michelle Kwan and all of these athletes and famous singers that kids look up to, that's been really awful for what they're doing. So I think that they should start to pay a little
bit
for that.
What if they do something like the alcohol industry does? After they have their commercial and everything like that, at the end of it, they say, please drink responsibly.
Yeah, they should. Or they should maybe have a disclaimer underneath that says, like, if LeBron James drank soda like we're saying he does, he would be much less athletic than
he is. That's how
he
gets those cramps.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so another good story from this past week is about healthy eating becoming too extreme. So there's a new disorder, well, it's a fairly new disorder, that's called orthorexia nervosa, and it's when people become extremely obsessive over eating pure or clean foods, and it becomes so much that it impairs their ability to live and function normally. And like Sonar said when we were talking about this over the break, it's kind of like OCD. And it's interesting because this disorder doesn't have a certain, an official diagnostic code, but they're, as we're seeing it more and more, they're starting to see that the treatments that are effective for these people are similar to people with OCD.
Well, it seems like almost a mental or a social disorder.
Yeah, well, and that's the first red flag, apparently, is what these researchers from Colorado are saying, is that the first red flag is when people's eating habits are making them avoid social engagements or are affecting them socially. And I think that that's definitely true. And I think that with all the misinformation out there about what to be eating, that it can become really overwhelming. So people start eliminating food groups on their own without seeing a specialist. And that can be really dangerous because it can ultimately lead to malnourishment when you're trying to just eat all clean, all raw, organic foods and you don't have a balanced diet. There's a risk of becoming malnourished. So
it's almost like living in a clean room. You don't get enough germs to keep your antibodies up. So
exactly.
You don't have a balanced nutrition, and if you're not a nutritionist, you shouldn't be delegating your own nutrition. But at the same time, that's what it sounds like.
I completely agree with that. You're right. That's so true. And so I think that Michael Pollan had coined, he had kind of predicted that was going to happen. And I think it was Omnivore's Dilemma, talking about how the way that we're set up makes people, it's creating a national eating disorder. And he was definitely onto something when he said that. And I haven't forgotten it when I read it years ago. So the new term is orthorexia nervosa. And I think that that's all we have. We're running out of time. So thank you so much, Sonar, for amazing input. And thank you to Dr. Michael Roizen. Thank you for listening. We hope that you stay well this week and that you enjoyed listening. Thank you so much.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RADIOMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.